I'm usually not. I'm just kind of not emotional, or a crier at least. I'm a get madder, but I don't know. Writing this, and which reminds me, you know, the first night we were there, second night we were there, we spent, 12 hours putting together and doing the anniversary party for Calvary Chapel there. And that taught us a lot about being servants, because before the end of the day, the pastor made us aware of the fact that he and his wife were going out to dinner and we would be watching their four children. The oldest one was 9. And if you ever want to learn about respect, you will talk to Becky Jo.
Grabby
old lady. There was, they were definitely PKs, preacher kids. This would be an example. This is what the pastor told us, that we were surprised he just let us watch his four kids, and one was a baby, and it just kind of defaulted to Kelsey, Becky Jo's daughter, because she was the teenager to watch him. And he says, just don't let them stack the air mattresses, because last time we had college students there, and they stacked as high as they could the mattresses, and the kids jumped from one mattress to the next, and the pastor didn't find out about it until he watched it on YouTube. So there was, I think it was Caleb, he's the oldest, very intelligent little boy, and he didn't want to mind, and he was getting in behind a mattress, and Becky Jo said, get out from behind that mattress. And when Becky Jo, who's very good with kids, tells you to get out from behind the mattress, you do it. So then he does not move. He's not going to do it. And I see her get up, and I see her stop. Boy, those sandals were flapping and she was.
You thought. On a mission.
Oh, amen. They'd be a lot different after that. And so she gets him. They finally end up in a back room, watching videos. And then, you know, little lady later, I guess he's 4 years old. What was his name? Ethan? Yeah. Comes out and what did he say? Where's that quabby lady? And you know what? The next morning, they could not stay away from her. She had imaginary phone calls going with them. She was in the nursery. She was drawing with them, including the oldest one. And so that really said a lot. Because I like to talk a lot. I've written my stuff down to please Jeff, so I won't talk so much. Anyway, what did I bring to New Orleans? Physically, nothing. This was one of my greatest concerns and one of my most fervent prayers from the time I made my commitment to go to NOLA. That's New Orleans, Louisiana. And that I would not be able to pull my load. I really, really wanted to be able to pull my load, but to put this rumor to rest among my Touchstone family, I am not a lean, mean exercise machine. I'm a 56-year-old grandmother of 5 who was hoping she wouldn't need a seatbelt extension for the airplane. What could be so hard about flying to New Orleans for a week, build a bunch of homes, and fly home? But God knew what I could do. Materially, a hammer and a pair of leather gloves. When I returned, my gloves were a little worn, and my hammer was new as when I bought it at Ace Hardware. God knew what tools I would need to get my job done. Spiritually, a desire to serve in whatever capacity God wanted me to. I've always wanted to go on a mission trip, but I knew it had to be of God's choosing, not mine. When Brian Skates asked me to go to New Orleans, so if Brian comes up to you guys next time, prepare to go on a mission. Alex already spoke to that. So, and he asked me about going to New Orleans. I thought about it and believed this was the tug from God I needed to say yes. I was so afraid that I would not know how to talk to people, believe it or not, I just met about God. And I mean in a way that would mean something and that would stay with them. That's what I was afraid about. I can always talk. That's not an issue. I was so afraid that I would not know how to talk to people I just met about God. So I did not want to sound like someone, sound like someone who stood on a corner and talks about the world coming to an end. I also wanted them to know that God had not forgotten the people of New Orleans. I know now that God had a plan when I did Bill Hybels' Bible study on a walk across the room. By the way, a Bible study that changed my life and my view on evangelism. God reminded me on several occasions that whatever he had me do in New Orleans would be just a matter of walking across the room. What did I leave behind? For all those we met in New Orleans, the assurance that God had not forgotten them and hears their cries. And for the Ruffinos, that's the first house that we worked on, and we never met the Ruffinos. I think we met their uncle or something. That God wants them back as a family, and it was by God's hand that their home was restored. Not just by those from Touchstone, but the other Christians who had come before us to help and put their home together. Because, I don't know, we were probably the third or fourth round of people who had been in that house. What did I bring back with me? Joy, a joy that comes from my deepest part of my soul. And I have been so happy since I've come back. Real joy, a deeper desire to serve God, and a hope that God would allow me to return to New Orleans to continue what he had begun, however small that job might be. No, there is two pages. An incredible love for my brothers and sisters at Touchstone. There could not have been a more perfectly formed team. And then he threw in this little Southern boy from North Carolina, Mike Gaudet. And repent! he says, this is how we should approach people. Repent, sinner! And our last day, he made, do we have a picture of the big cardboard sign he had that said repent? And Teresa's going, oh, Shannon, what if the guy we just kind of talked to and is going to come to church and stuff on the corner, what if he thinks we're a bunch of wackos, you know? And he was just, he said, I've never even really used that term today, but he fit in so well. When we played cards, he brought in the Tootsies, the Tootsie Rolls for...
Tootsies.
Yeah, I wasn't a good, yeah. And see, an awesome brother from North Carolina who joined us on his own. You can't eat, sleep, work, babysit four preachers' kids, and share one shower with 13 people for 9 days without knowing who cheats at Dirty Uno.
Ryan and Becky Joe.
Although there was an instance when Mr. Alex here tried to get me to take the extra cart. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry, what did you want me to do? I saw you doing this. You want to talk?
I said amen about those cheaters.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alex tried me to get to take an extra card so we could all stack up against Becky Joe.
I was doing what Sean and Brian told me.
Thank you, Mr. Lemming. So anyway, yeah, I couldn't take it because I felt like I was being cheating, but I didn't know everyone was cheating on him. So anyway, but then after all this, I'm filming it. And she takes these four cards, and what does Becky Joe do? She gets to take 16 cards from Uno. She grabs the two bottom ones and puts them in her hand. She cheated. I have it on film.
You need to be done. I'm on a mission.
You were. And there are the memories. I have never laughed so much and so hard as I did on this trip. The extra special memory of sharing the church's nursery room with Becky Joe and Kelsey will never be forgotten. How awesome our young adults from Touchstone are, Alex and Sarah, who always made sure I was okay. My landscape buddies, Teresa and Lisa, who were the first by my side when I fell in a hole while mowing the lawn. That was a sight, and God is good, because there were no cameras clicking at the time. Yeah. And of course, the food. Different sayings we made up and were taught by the wonderful folks in New Orleans. Riding in Dave's motorhome, I would say, estimate 20 times, hold on, guys! And then there was a saying that Dave came up with. What was that saying, Dave?
I don't know. Teresa came up with it.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. Look, it said, that ain't right. And then there was one Mr. Buddy came up with. Did you want to repeat that one?
No.
He was somebody we saw, three people got baptized at the anniversary party, and he was one of them, and he was from Houma, an area that got struck more by Gustav and Ike. But he had a few meanings that we learned, huh? Bodia, that means, Bodia, come over here. That's both of you, come over here. It was, that's what Pastor Jeff taught us, and it was such a delight. People cooked for us. They had a chef. I know I'm going over, Jeff. They had a chef there. On the
you can take my part.
No. You're awesome, Sean. But they had a chef from like a 5-star restaurant. It's a member of their very small church, and he cooked for the anniversary. Oh man, Creole sauce over cold potato salad, jambalaya all day, and there was so much. There was the refrigerator was filled with it. I mean, it was like loaves and fishes, and we had so much of that to eat. Ice chest full, and it was like stuff you never ate before. And I'm not a big spicy. And not only did we get to eat alligators, we got to see them shot. That was a little hard on Sarah. That was hard on poor Sarah. But one was coming up on shore, and the guy goes, plug your ears. Yeah. But it's his property, and we were dumping stuff in his lake. So that's the way they do it in Louisiana.
That wasn't illegal.
No. It was his lake. He wanted it filled, and it was huge. But anyway, I love these people. I have such a deep love for these people I went with, and a deeper love for Touchstone, a deeper love for a leader that leads us through what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. I want to cry because, you know, it's just, Greg took us to lunch. Can you imagine that? He paid for it. You guys didn't know that, the rest of you, huh? Although Brian got to get in on that, and you weren't part of our little group at the church, were you? But yeah. Oh yeah. And then and Greg also taught me three things. You take the caulk gun and you go like this, put it with your finger, and you wipe it with a rag. So now I can caulk things, you know. Yeah. Very good. And then how did it change my life? I've often heard people say that it would be easier to follow Jesus if they could just see a miracle like healing the blind or raising the dead. Of course, I didn't see that in New Orleans. But much of what I've experienced in New Orleans was just as tangible. Lack of humility is one of my greatest downfalls with tending to be judgmental, which happened a lot actually on the first day. Just not me though. But two things God dealt with me on this trip. I want to serve God in any way he sees fit, without judgment and with humility. This includes at work, home, church, or those I just happen to be with. I saw so many things that needed to be restored and so many things that were restored there. And to me, those were tangible things that I could see God's hand working there. And the trip was incredible, just absolutely incredible. And if I could go back next week, I'd take my Vicodin and go.